AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bizzle Fuma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Go ahead and figure out the amount of money that you're going to spend on your kids' travel sport for the next 8 to 10 years and go invest it. That is your best guarantee to have money for college. It's not putting your kid through sport, because I don't think it's fair to put that pressure on a kid to say, hey, you're going to play a high-level sport, you're going to be committed to it so that we can pay for your college.
This is the Reform Sports Project, a podcast about restoring healthy balance and perspective in all areas of sport through education and advocacy.
Hi, this is Nick Bonacore from the Reform Sports Podcast. Today I'm speaking with Paul Jobson, professional soccer coach, recruiting consultant, and sports parent. Coach Jobson is a National A licensed coach who finished his 14th and final season at Baylor and his 9th as head coach in 2021. He led the Bears to back-to-back NCAA tournament Elite Eight appearances in 2017 and 2018, helped guide Baylor to 3 of 4 Big 12 regular season and tournament titles in program history, and was named Big 12 Coach of the Year in 2018. Paul is the co-founder of Warrior Way Soccer and a senior consultant at Sports Recruiting USA. Coach Jobson and I discussed the value of working with a paid organization to help with the college recruiting process, academic and athletic scholarships, and the importance of balance in parenting athletic kids.
All right, back at it. This is a guest from the past. I want to say guest from the past because we first connected, had a conversation back when Reform Sports Parent at the time was just starting. He was gracious enough to really give me insight and his background on the soccer side and his playing and coaching experience, and of course being a sports parent. But really excited to have him. He's got some things going on that I think are going to be very insightful. Coach Paul Jobson. Coach Jobson, thanks so much for hopping on, man.
Nick, man, good to talk to you again.
For sure. Hey, catch us up to speed. You were the head soccer coach at Baylor. So was your wife, Marcy. But now you're in a new get. What's going? Kind of recap us where you were a year ago, where you are now, and kind of what's going on.
Yeah, what's crazy, Nick, is time is flying by. We stepped out of Baylor about 2.5 years ago now.
Wow.
So time is flying. But got to the point where, you know, I've got 4 young kids between 7 and 14 and just realized time was flying by and I was missing more than I wanted to. Obviously, the requirements to be a high-level soccer coach are great, and it was a wonderful time, and Baylor was great to me and my family. When it came down to weighing, you know, what was most important, was it driving and leading a soccer team, or was it driving and leading my family? And chose my family, obviously. So stepped out of that about 2.5 years ago, and Marcy and I are running a faith-based soccer program here in Waco, as well as some partners in Latin America. And then I'm also working with an organization called SRUSA, which is a soccer-specific recruiting service here as well. So amongst some other things, those are the basic things that we've stepped into right now.
Amongst juggling four kids, I got you beat. I have six, but either way, well, you know, the old analogy, and I heard it's like once you have more than two and you're playing zone, it don't matter. I mean, you might as well have 10 at that point. It's insane. It's a blessing, but holy cow, they keep you young. But I feel like the days at times, I feel like I'm aging in dog years at times. My youngest son, Colin, wears me out.
Yeah, absolutely. When we played a 3v3 basketball last night, the six of us in the household, I tend to be the least mobile of all of them. So it was kind of a scary realization.
it's awesome. But congrats on doing what you're doing. It's like we talked about a little bit offline. I'm really fascinated, Coach, with your dive into, and I had Don Williams on, right? He's with SRUSA. He gave us great insight. Love Don. I love the work he does. And I have a little bit of experience. I shouldn't say I have an experience in this side, but I from the baseball side, know firsthand that when it comes to recruiting and recruiting services, and more importantly, being able to maybe get a kid a look, you know, maybe you know, from what I have learned, because I've been able to do it just not by soliciting, but just from relationships, it's like, if you know someone, like really know someone and have a relationship and they trust you, that I know plays a role. But then you see recruiting services out there pay X amount of dollars a month. And it's almost like I hear college coaches tell me that they're sometimes spam email, that they're almost like pulling the wool over parents' eyes. Like they don't take certain organizations or companies' emails or information seriously, while others they do. And Don Williams, in fact, told me, you know, specifically that his relationships have gone for 20 plus years of being an NCAA coach. So break it down. Like, and I know you can speak on soccer specifically. What is the value proposition for a sports parent for their kid to pay for an organization to help them in the recruiting process? And maybe like, what are signs to look out for those companies that you might not want to get quote unquote in bed with?
Yeah, Nick, I mean, honestly, a little bit of background. When I was a college soccer coach, I did not talk to recruiting services forever. You know, I would delete the emails. I would ignore the phone calls because everybody had the player that was perfect for me, but knew nothing about my program, knew nothing about me, had no relationship with me. So I did not use them until I met Don Williams, to be quite honest with you. And Don, we built a relationship, and it got to the point where, you know, Don would call and just say, hey, I got a kid who I think might be a kid you might be interested. Just take a look at the video. Let me know what you think. And I did that and began to realize that Don knew what he was talking about. And he never sent me a video that was so far out of reach that, you know, I was like, this guy's crazy. So when I got out of coaching, Don and I still had a great relationship. And after about a year and a half or so, I was already kind of like you said, people were calling me for advice anyway. Hey, Paul, you're in the game forever. You know, my kid's this, or I have this friend that needs this, you know, advice. And I was giving advice anyway. So it became about those relationships. So I say that just to say there is a new recruiting service I feel like popping up every week, honestly. And there are a million out there, and I can't speak to every single one of them. But I think the things that you're looking for as a family, I'll say this, and this is what I say to people that I'm talking to on a daily basis, is listen, you may not need my service. But what we're going to do is we're going to have a conversation. We're going to figure out if you do or not. Because there are plenty of families that can navigate this process by themselves. Plenty. But there's others who are like, man, I just don't feel comfortable navigating this huge decision that our family is going to go through on my own. And I equate it to things like, hey, listen, I have an accounting degree. I'm pretty good with finances, but I have someone who manages my finances for me. I have a financial person that I call for advice before I make financial moves, right? Like there's an expert. You want an expert? Then there are great companies out there that have experts that have, you know, 20, 30, you know, as an organization, we have over 300 years of college coaching experience that we can help with our families. So I say that to say, listen, not everybody needs a recruiting service. But I think what you need to do is you need to make sure that if you're contacting these organizations, that they're having a real conversation with you. They're asking you the right questions, and it's not just you asking them questions as well. But they're getting to know you. They're getting to know kind of what your ideas are, what your thoughts and processes are, and what relationships do these services have? You know, like I said, SRUSA, our organization has over 300 years of college coaching experience. Say most, if not all of our people are former college coaches. Those are relationships. You know, I'm one phone call away from just about every college coach in the country, whether I have them in my phone or somebody in our organization does, right? So it is about relationships. So, you know, and being able to evaluate talent. not to find out who the most talented kids are, but where does that talent fit? And you know, if you're talking to me, Nick, and you're like, hey, my kid's a D1 soccer player, you know, and I watch the video and I don't think so. My job is to tell you that as the professional. And if Nick, you and I can't agree on that, I can't work with you. Right. So there's got to be some give and take. Right. Hey, I'm the expert on where I think we're going to fight hard to find the right fit for your kid academically, athletically, socially, all of those things. And those are the things I think that you're looking for an expert, not someone who's just trying to take your money and move on, but somebody that's willing to, you know, put the work in and the time in, quite honestly, to help you find the right college fit.
You mentioned video, and actually, you know, I had a couple of folks who I've passed along video as like as a friend, you know, like, hey, yeah. I have relationships with coaches. But see, for me, I don't consider myself an expert. Like, there's levels, right? So you mentioned, is my kid a D1 soccer player, whatever the sport is. I sent a video or two or three to different coaches at different levels. I'm like, what do you think of this? And it's a 30-second clip. Coaches can look at certain things, you know, in baseball. They can look at a swing. They can look at the way the body moves. They can look at the way a kid throws, these little things, and determine, hey, that's something that might be interesting. You know, can you have the kids send me their schedule or find out when they play? And then there's certain levels, like some, you know, a D3 coach may say, I love that kid. D1 say, listen, looks fine, but it might not translate to our level. So I feel like people get this misconception, like coaches watch video and there are things you can see. How objective as a parent? I feel like it's not easy to be objective as a parent. Do you need that somebody to be honest? How often are people not honest and they try to sell you up the river like everyone can play at Division I?
Yeah, parents cannot be objective. I really don't think so. Even it was funny. I was laughing the other day. I'm out at a field, and you know, my wife and I are, you know, probably, you know, our soccer experience is pretty good, I'll say. And we're sitting there watching our 7-year-old.
That's
play,
putting it very humbly, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I'm watching my 7-year-old play, who I think is a really good soccer player. And I'm talking to the coach, and I said, "Hey, listen, man, I'm just going to stop talking because in this moment, I'm absolutely the parent." And I had to stop myself, right? Because I cannot be objective. I just can't. It's my kid. I think the greatest things about my kids. So I think that most parents are going to need some kind of expertise. Now, I do think that if parents are able to trust the process of putting their kids, if they have the ability and the time to invest, to do the work, to put their kids in front of coaches, they can allow the coaches to make the determination of, basically let the market determine your value, so to speak, if they have the time and the energy to do that. But I do think having an expert to look at video and say, hey, listen, I think you're wasting your time with these schools. I had a client one time said, I said, send me your list of schools. I said, hey, listen, you've got to take these four out because I really don't think that you're going to be able to play at that level. She questioned it. So I happened to be friends with one of the coaches. I sent her video to that coach. He responded back kindly, like, yes, I just don't think she's going to be a great fit at this level. Forward that on to her. And then obviously there's some credibility, right? So sometimes you have to do the extra work. But I don't think that parents really can assess their children best. Because another thing, too, is this. Like, you watch your kid all day long, every day. You have an opinion. You see every move and everything and every good and bad. And you can make an excuse for every bad thing that happens. And you can praise every good thing that happens. But at the end of the day, the coach on the other side of this has to be able to make a decision based on what they see, not based on your 10 years of knowledge about your child, right? So parents sometimes get frustrated, like, I know how good my kid is. I'm like, well, I'm sorry, that has to, somehow we have to be able to communicate that to the other side of this coach who has limited knowledge. And that's where an expert comes in to say, hey, I've also watched the film. This is what I think, or I've seen this player in person. And that's a lot what we do at SRU USA is we're at these events evaluating kids in person. For the most part. And that gives a lot of credibility to say, you know, as a college coach, hey, Nick, thanks for calling me about this player. Have you seen her play? And if you said yes, then I'm like, oh, okay, great. Well, let's talk about it. If not, then, you know, I can only go based on what I see on video to see if I'm interested in seeing him or her more in person.
I love how you said, let the market determine. I mean, I think that goes along with the old adage, if you're good enough, they'll find you. At the end of the day, if you're good enough to play the Division I level, Division II, Division III, those coaches are going to, you know, they're going to weed themselves out. And I think what gets lost in translation quite often is the significance of the academic piece of it. I mean, I know for me, and I'll never forget it, Miss Jennings, Sacred Heart High School, like 1995 or 96, I did not take school seriously. And quite frankly, I was very mature. I just did not care. I was like, get me some C's. Just let me get out of here. I didn't like it. But she told me, I was a junior in high school. I wasn't the best athlete, but I was able to play in college, and she knew I aspired to. And she goes, Nick, you're literally eliminating like a level of potential schools that you might be interested in competing in, even if you won't be able to get in there academically. Now, of course, I probably laughed and told a joke afterwards. I'm like, who cares? But right. I'm telling the story now because I remember it. I didn't know what it meant then. And it's absolutely true. Like, how significant, like, let's say a kid wants to, I think schools like the Ivy League speak for themselves, but there's tiers where, like, don't you have to vet right away? Like, hey, you want to go play at Columbia or whatever the school is. You need to see the transcripts right away before you can even approach about from the soccer standpoint, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, your Ivies, like you said, they speak for themselves, and that's going to be the case, you know, no matter what. But then you've got some schools that are high academic standard schools that compete at the Division I level or any level. But if you can't get in on your own merit, you know, you're not going to be able to play soccer. But the other side of it too is this, Nick. I remember as a coach, if I'm looking at two kids and if I'm evaluating from a soccer perspective and personality, they're the same, and I'm trying to make a decision between the two, the one that has the better grades, I'm going to go with that one. Because that's just another advantage that kid has that brings to my program for a couple of reasons. One, they're probably going to be able to get some kind of merit aid, merit award, or academic money, right? Which helps the family, right? Which also helps my team, from spreading out the scholarship a little bit too. So you've got that piece. I mean, I've had clients that, you know, a school is like, hey, listen, like, we do not have any scholarship available for their class. So if they're going to come, they're going to have to come on their own merit, at least the first year. Well, then they start running their academics and realize, oh my gosh, this kid's going to get like 60% academic aid at our university. All of a sudden, for the family, it makes sense. For the team, it makes sense. And a spot was basically created on the team because they didn't need the athletic scholarship. Hopefully that makes sense to everybody, is that, hey, if this family needs soccer money or athletic aid, we don't have it for that class right away, but if they can come in with, you know, if it helps the family, we can look at what the merit aid is going to be from an academic standpoint, and it opens more doors. So absolutely. I mean, the academic piece, anytime I do a talk with any high school kids, you know, you're trying to catch them as early as you can their freshman year, to say, hey, this is important. If you want to play college athletics, this is going to be something that makes a difference. Even in your freshman year, you do not want to look back and go, man, I wish I had just not fluffed off that one semester or two semesters, because it's really impacting my GPA, my class rank, things like that. It can really affect, you know, what you can get from a financial standpoint and your marketability, so to speak, to those schools.
When we return, Paul and I dive deeper into college scholarships.
Before we go to break, I've got another exciting announcement for you. TeamSnap, the leading provider of sports management software, has acquired Mojo. In addition to the best-in-class sports management solutions used by more than 2 million daily active users and 19,000 sports organizations, TeamSnap will now offer Mojo's award-winning library of games, drills, and session-by-session support for youth coaches, as well as robust interactive multimedia tools, including live streaming for families and fans to engage on and off the field. The combination of the two industry-leading consumer tech platforms also creates the most comprehensive suite of B2B tools available for youth sports organizations, including powerful content distribution capabilities to drive adoption of coaching and training programs, registration tools, payment processing, organizational management tools, and much more. To learn more, visit www.teamsnap.com and set up a free demo to learn how TeamSnap can help your organization this season.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Thank you.
Where we left off, Paul and I were about to discuss the challenges with college scholarships and his approach as a sports parent.
I feel like I talk about this fairly often, but I haven't really dug into it too much here recently in the episodes. It's that not every sport is a, you know, full rot, right? Like basketball and football, I think they're called headcount sports, where if you play for the team, you get a full scholarship. Well, I know in baseball, and a fully funded Power 5 school like the University of North Carolina or whatever the heck it is, you get 11.7 scholarships, and they carry 35 players. I don't know exactly the numbers in soccer, but you kind of just touched on not having enough money. Like, some people say, oh, that's not true. Well, let people understand, like, there aren't scholarships for every kid available. How do you go about divvying that up? And I think in baseball, the minimum you could give out is 25%. What's it look like in soccer? Is it similar? How many are available per team?
Yeah, on the soccer side, it's also was considered an equivalency sport. And you're right. You know, your basketballs and your footballs are head count. You're either on a full scholarship or you're a walk-on. For your equivalency sports, you can give, obviously baseball is a little bit different. But in soccer, you can give 1% to 100%. Any percentage that you want. There's no limit on, there's not a minimum percentage you can give in soccer. In the women's game, they're about every, you know, fully funded team is going to have 14 with roster sizes of, you know, 28, give or take a few. Some are up to 35. And on the men's side, it's a little bit less. It's 9, 9.5, something like that, I believe, on the men's side. And the roster sizes are the same. So, yeah, the dollars are limited for these coaches. So getting creative is something that coaches usually pride themselves in, of how they divvy up their scholarships. And if you come in as an academic, a high academic kid, and you get academic aid, you know, I had kids at Baylor that, you know, their total package was a full scholarship, but maybe, you know, 40 or 50% of that was academic. So for my team, that freed up another 40 or 50% that I could put into another player. So it extends your dollars a little bit. So, it's not cut and dry. It's not easy. And then you've got things like, you know, the transfer portal, right? Like our coaches putting aside money, you know, every year so they can get a transfer, a more experienced kid to bring into their roster. And then you've got on the other side of it, you're losing kids to the transfer portal. So, you know, obviously money gets freed up. You've got injuries that happen. You've got, you know, all kinds of different things that fluctuate that number from year to year that you have to be aware of as a coach.
How old are your kids?
My kids are 7, 10, 12, and 14.
All right. So a little spread out, but you 14, I mean, getting ready to go to high school or freshman in high school currently?
Yeah, eighth grader.
All right. So I would imagine, you know, athletes in there, maybe the soccer, but I have no idea. But you could tell me here in a second. But like, how are you approaching this? Are you able to keep the hats differently? Are you able to separate yourself? Because I know Marcy, both of you were highly, you know, six, like you put it mildly. I think she played for like the USA women's national team, and you're a stud in your own right. So are you able to separate your own competitiveness from your kids? How do you navigate it? Are you just mom and dad, coach, all these things, especially as they approach these years of, you know, where they may want to go play a quote unquote the collegiate level in a few years?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, we are mom and dad on the sideline, and we try really hard to be the calm example of what I think parents should be on the sideline. We're not always great at it, but, you know, I think I had a parent tell me one time, like, oh, wow, like, you know, you're really calm. How do you keep so quiet? But I'm sure you see things like this all the time, the craziness of the sidelines. I said, listen, I've never seen anything so crazy on the sideline. It's crazy what parents are yelling on the sidelines these days. But my emotions are inside. You know, I'm trying to coach inside my own brain, inside my own heart. And if my kid is open to some suggestions, I'm happy to do that. But at the same time, like, I'm like any other parent. My kids don't always think that mom and dad know anything about soccer. So we kind of have to defer to the other coaches at times, but we step in when we think it's appropriate. None of our kids currently play any type of travel sports. The dynamic of our family is priority number one. If our kid is showing that they absolutely love and desire and feel like they've been given a gift from God to do something really special and want to go after it, we have certain criteria that we think have to be filled to be on a travel squad. And the commitment to that our kids have to make is pretty high level, because the commitment it takes from a family is very high level. So we're navigating that, and it'll be different for every kid. Anyone who has multiple children knows that every personality is different, and you have to approach every kid somewhat differently, but your standards at home have to be the same. So we are navigating parenting athletic kids, I think, in a unique way. where I think if you saw our dynamics, I don't think people from the outside would go, oh, wow, like those are high level, high achieving athletes and coaches. I'll give this example, Nick. I've said this before at a Q&A and got some funny looks, but I had a parent ask, they said, hey, you know, what is the best way for us to guarantee that our kids are going to get a college scholarship, that they're going to get money for college through sports? I said, okay, your goal is to pay for college. They said, yes. I said, okay, how old's your kid? The kid was pretty young. I said, go ahead and figure out the amount of money that you're going to spend on your kid's travel sport for the next 8 to 10 years and go invest it. That is your best guarantee to have money for college. It's not putting your kid through sport, because I don't think it's fair to put that pressure on a kid to say, hey, you're going to play a high level sport. You're going to be committed to it so that we can pay for your college. We want you to play sport because it's fun. If you end up being a high level player and it pays for college, great. But I can't tell you, Nick, how many conversations I've had from college athletes are like, I just realized, coach, I'm through my freshman year of college and I realized I was playing because my parents loved the game more than I did.
I hear that story all the time, man. And I get, you almost gave me goosebumps as you were telling it. And is there any way that, you know, I think it's fascinating that your kids don't play travel sport. You would think in this era, it's like, you got to be there. So you're not racing. You're almost like using your experience as, we don't need to do that.
We don't. I mean, I don't listen again. I've got younger kids. So my 7 and 10 year olds, you know, they haven't decided if they want to play basketball or soccer or run track or play baseball, like wrestle. I mean, we're going to do all of it. You know, we're going to see one that's going to make them a better overall athlete, because I believe the different sports give them different tools in their toolbox, so to speak. So we're going to do all of it. But if they get to a point, like my 14-year-old, I think he's pretty much decided he's going to play school sports. Hey, that's fine. Hey, he wants to play, you know, school football, wants to play school soccer and run school track. I'm 100% for that if that's what he wants to do. But if they want to take the next level and do something higher level, they've got to be willing to put in the extra work, because I think that if you're going to play travel sports and you're going to put in the finances to do that, I think the best thing for your team to be the best is you got to do extra. You know, you don't play college athletics, just showing up for practice, scheduled practice is not enough to be a high level college athlete. It's just not. You've got to do extra and you got to put in the work. You got to eat right. You got to take care of your body. And those are things that we're trying to navigate with our family to say, hey, listen, we're going to support whatever sporting endeavor you want to, but knowing that at every level, there's a different type of commitment to it.
Coach, I love it. It's refreshing to hear someone who's been to your level, you and your wife, like kind of sitting back and not caught up in the, and I find the correlation, man, people that have the experience that have either competed their own self at the highest levels or coached or whatever, they seem to have a knack for taking their foot off the gas and going, I'm going to let my kids kind of come into their own. It's almost like, it seems like the folks who don't have experience are more susceptible to get caught up in the FOMO. That's not every example, but it's refreshing. And I think it's so powerful to hear from someone of your caliber be able to be an example and say, hey, I've been there. I don't need to do this. I don't feel it. Because I think a lot of people fall for that and they get nervous, and it's tough enough being a parent, let alone when you're trying to keep up with everyone else. So it's very refreshing. Coach, where can people, you know, connect with you? What are your social handles, content, the SRUSA? Like, let us know where they can connect and maybe reach out.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Nick. I'm at Coach Jobson on most social media. Basically, Instagram is where I hover the most. I'm trying to take a step back from social media a little bit, but at Coach Jobson is where I am on social media. Marcy and I, our organization we run is called Warrior Way Soccer. So at Warrior Way Soccer is our social media, and warriorwaysoccer.com is our website. And through that, we're basically trying to teach kids how to merge their faith and their sport, because ultimately we feel like if we can get the core things right and foundation of who we are and who we want our children to be, who we think God wants them to be, then when soccer or sport disappears, we've got some core values in place that help us be great people to impact the world in a positive way.
I love it, Coach. I can't thank you enough for taking the time to come on. I really appreciate you. I wish you nothing but continued success, you and Marcy and the kids. And I'm grateful for you. I know you're busy. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, Nick, thanks so much for what you're doing. Keep doing it, man. I appreciate you bringing me on.
That's Paul Jobson, former head coach of women's soccer at Baylor University, co-founder of Warrior Way Soccer, senior consultant at SRUSA, and sports parent.
Thanks for listening to the Reform Sports Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, we would appreciate it if you took a moment to rate and review our podcast as we work to grow our community of supporters and advocates. For more Reform Sports content, please subscribe to our newsletter and blog at reformsportsproject.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. On sale now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.